Stephen, can you tell our listeners a little about how the process to choose the nominees in these different categories is done?
Well, it's a kind of a two-tier process. It begins in the spring when both readers and a group of critics, we call them, but they're just sort of movers and shakers within the local music scene, nominate acts to be on the ballot. And then once we choose the top two or three of each of those, we combine them together and put them online for people, for readers to vote in a multiple choice format.
Who do you think is some deserving talent that's new to the Tammy's list this year?
Well, I think there's kind of been an explosion this year of new bands, and I think very diverse bands. And the up-and-coming Artist of the Year category, I think, represents that pretty well. There's seven acts, which is kind of on the high scale for a category. And every one of them is really good, and every one of them does something completely different.
What are some of the musical genres that are represented in the new artist category?
You've got Dead Western Plains, which is an indie rock band. Alien Jane, which is kind of straightforward rock. You've got Kiss and the Tells, who are kind of a throwback to the girl groups of the 60s, like a soul R&B kind of thing. Acorn Bicorn is a female blues rock duo. Star Eater is a real heavy rock band. So it's really all over the map.
Stephen, looking over the nominees on this year's list, can you say anything about the demographics? What sort of ages and walks of life are represented in the Tucson music scene?
It's really all over the map, just as it is with genres. You've got a band like Kiss and the Tells, made up of members of lots of other bands. Gene Rulli, who goes way back to the River Roses in the 80s, for example, plays guitar in that band. And then you've got a band like Otherly Love, which are just, you know, kids in their 20s, basically, doing their thing. And that's always been the way of music in Tucson, is people just kind of do what they do, and if they find an audience, which they usually do, great.
Is there an example of someone who's worked really hard this year and it's paying off now?
Yeah, there's several. There's Seashell Radio has been really active. Gabriel Sullivan in Tarafta, Tucson has been holding down a monthly Friday night at Hotel Congress. Silver Thread Trio's been real active. They've been working on a new record that they're real excited about.
The award show, which emphasizes performance over the award giving, is going to be this Wednesday night at the Rialto Theater. But can you tell us about some other things that are happening this weekend and next, Jim, that tie into this?
Well, yeah, besides the amazing Tammy show that's coming up at the Rialto Theater, that's really going to be the start of what is called the HOCO Festival, which is a celebration of live music at Hotel Congress, which of course has been really the headquarters of downtown music for more than a quarter of a century. And this year, there's a little different spin to HOCO Fest. There's a lot of benefit action for a fellow named Craig Schumacher, who's not a household name around a lot of Tucsonans, but has been really responsible for a lot of the great music that we've heard come out of Tucson. He's a producer who runs a studio called Wave Lab, and this is a studio that both local musicians have been able to go into and cut albums, but also a lot of national acts. Amos Lee, who performed at the Fox Theater this week, put his new album together there with the help of Joey Burns from Calexico. You've had Nico Case record there. Devotchka has recorded there. So Wave Lab is a kind of place where musicians will come if they want to avoid the glass-walled studios of the L.A. Music scene and kind of get into a room that's just a big open room and allows for the producer to be in the room with you. And one of the things that struck me in talking with musicians about Craig Schumacher, and I'm going to have a story about him in next week's Tucson Weekly, is how much he's a part of what they do. Like he will perhaps explain to them, hey, why don't you try this with a track or try that with a track, and it will really work for them. And so they appreciate having a guy who's almost another member of the band. He has an amazing collection of keyboards in there that the musicians kind of like to noodle around with, a lot of guitars in there that they can use if they decide to try to go for a slightly different sound than what they traditionally work with. And so it's really a very creative space, and Craig is really responsible for that. And so because he's had cancer, he's got some medical bills that have built up, and so they're really trying to raise some money for him. Saturday night, they'll have a barbecue that he's hosting where folks can come by, and there'll be a lot of local acts playing at that. And then on Sunday night, you're going to have Calexico playing along with Davochka and John Rawhouse and Richard Buckner and Sergio Mendoza. And it's just going to be an amazing night of music going on there. And that, all the benefits from that will also go to Craig.
Stephen, what would you say about the Wavelab sound and what might kind of define the work that's come out of that studio?
It's a very warm sound that comes out of there, and I think that's sort of Craig's MO, is to make things sound really warm and not sterile like, you know, some certain albums can sound or songs can sound.
And one of the things he has is a lot of analog mixers along with the digital equipment. So, you know, musicians, I think, are looking kind of back at trying to use more of the analog equipment rather than the digital equipment, because they're trying for a more, I don't know, lush or organic sound that they feel they can get out of the analog, that the digital is kind of passionless. And so he has all this older equipment that people are actually looking for these days as kind of almost like a throwback to the sounds that you had before the digital revolution.